Let us open with a word of prayer before we get into today's message. Okay. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I give Thee praise and thanks, Lord. Praise because of who You are, and thanks because of what You have made me to be, Lord, a believer. A believer in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. A believer that He went to the cross, Your blessed Son, and paid the price that I could not pay to set me free from the stain of sin. I thank You, O God. I thank You, Jesus. And I thank You for this opportunity You've given me to bring forth this message today. May all ears who hear it be unstopped, Lord. And when the message is complete, Lord, may they rejoice being glad that they tuned in. Thank You for the Just Jesus Radio Network, Lord. And thank You, Lord, for Your precious word. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these mercies. Amen. Amen. The title I've given my message today is kind of ominous in a way. Well, it's, I call it shadow believers. Shadow believers. People in the shadows, like, you know, they profess to believe, but they don't want to come out in the open, perhaps, and allow themselves to be persecuted. And if you truly are saved, you will be persecuted. Perhaps not in great measure, and perhaps in more measure than you're able to stand. But no one, now, you know, considering what Jesus went through for us, I think we can handle a little bit of persecution, couldn't we? Oh, yes. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13. I want to turn there just for a second. And I want to read verse 14. The Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now that's very important. According to His will. Now, some people get a little bit taken away, and I know I was one of them too, that we say, well, I'd like to have that, I'd like to have a nice new car, you know? So I'm going to pray for it. Well, there's nothing wrong in praying for it, but it may not be according to His will. You get the message here? Yes. Sometimes God doesn't always, well, think we should have certain things in our lives because it might, in some aspect, distance us from Him, from His Word. And in other ways, it might create in us a desire to want to test our Savior, and we should never do that. Not after the price He paid to save our precious souls. Oh, no. You know, there are many would-be Christians out there walking about these days with the hope of salvation. It's on their minds. Not all the time, but it comes in and it goes away and it comes in again. Because they hear somebody, or they might pick up a small portion of a message being heard, maybe just in their everyday workathon, you know. People do talk about Jesus, you know. Not in every circle, of course, and it doesn't look very good for the land that we live in, does it? But still, people do talk and praise Him. And I hope that you'll be one of them if you're not already. The great hope of salvation. Oh, how precious it is. You know, along with the hope of salvation on our minds, and without the full assurance in our hearts, it's not possible that we're going to be pleasing to him, you know. Because a hope can only mature if the hope is realized. If that hope is turned into believism. Believism. We must believe in the full assurance. The full assurance that's within our hearts. Isn't that like hoping maybe for the sun at the beach and perhaps a little rain for your garden? Yeah, these are kind of why I call the message shadow believers. They're back in the shadows, and you know, and we like to have these things, these blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. But sometimes, you know, we don't always get them, at least the way we want them. Sometimes they're hidden a little bit, and we have to pray a little harder. We have to believe a little stronger. But don't fall short. Oh, no, don't fall short, because God is still on the throne, and he still listens, and he still hears. In his time, that's so important, in his time. I have no doubt about my salvation. Oh, no, none whatsoever. I don't get everything I ask for when I pray to God. No, of course not. But I do get what he wants me to have. Sometimes he'll let us get a little bit hungry in certain areas. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about things that we might want to make our life a little bit easier. Maybe a new car. Maybe a little traveling somewhere. Things, you know, that we do not really consider being gifts from above. But they are. If you're a Christian, everything that happens in your life, God knows and recognizes, and God is in control. So don't sell him short. No. Like I said, I have no doubt about my salvation, and I pray that you don't either. But I pray most of all that you are saved, really saved. But you know, I meet a lot of people who just don't have that blessed hope. That blessed hope, you know. And this is, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. He heareth us. Oh, yes, he does. He certainly does. No, it's kind of like we're waiting for some great personal miracle to happen in our lives before we fully commit ourselves. Well, you know, what about faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, you know. We don't want to be swept off our feet too soon, or we might just get too heady-minded. Huh? Oh, it's so wonderful to know that, confidently, I mean, that Jesus is in control, and that everything that I desire, everything that I hope for, you know, is possible. I'm not talking so much about material things. I'm talking about, you know, the thereafter. You know, when we close our eyes in that final sleep, we know that we have a place with him in glory. And that's what's important. Oh, yes, it's so important. You know, one day I saw, I imagined this now. This is something I imagine. If God really loves me, why doesn't he send me a sign, you know, like maybe a biplane flying overhead with a banner trailing behind it saying, Tom is saved. Oh, then where's the hope? Huh? If you see it materialize before your eyes, where's the hope? You walk past it then. You go beyond it. And sometimes you just take it for granted. Oh, yes, it's real. It's true. The hope can be realized, but only through faith. Only through faith. George Mueller once said, faith is the assurance that the thing which God has said in his word is true, and that God will act according to what he has said in his word. Thank you, George. You know, when I witness to folks, the first thing I bluntly ask is, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I suppose a lot of you have already heard that and have used it many times. But you know, that's something you've got to hand out right up front. Do you know? Do you? Do you know if you died today, you would go to heaven? I mean, that's bringing the issue to the forefront right at the outset. And I think that has to be established. Death. Life after death. Or are we all just shadow believers and kind of take Jesus for granted? Well, he paid for my debt. You know, I don't have to go and be a fanatic about it. No, perhaps not, but it wouldn't hurt to spread the word around, would it? The gospel of Jesus Christ. To confront someone with the three-letter phrase now. Are you saved? Are you saved? Well, that provokes the listener to say such things as, saved? From what? Are we being bombed or something? Then there's what I call the hopers. The hopers. Oh, I hope so. I hope I'm saved. I hope I have eternal life. I hope I get to heaven. You know, well, I preach at a senior's home once a month, and at the end of my sermon, I go to each person and I ask them individually, do you know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? You know, the most common answer I get is, you guessed it, I hope so. Next in line is, I think so. You know, very, very few ever say, yes, I do. Yes, I know for sure. I know for sure. Oh, and another might say, well, oh, I'm holding on and hoping to get there. Come on, give me a break, will you? Don't take God for granted. Believe in what happened at Calvary. Believe that God is able. Believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses you from all your iniquities. Believe. Yes, heaven is our great hope. It certainly is. But such a hope is realized in the most familiar scripture of all time. You know what that is? Do you? Yes, it is. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. This is it, folks. This is it. If you never understand another verse of Scripture, John 3:16 is the one to cleave to. It's the one that tells it all. It's all here in John 3:16. God, Son, everlasting life, everlasting life. And don't get caught with your denomination in overdrive. Salvation belongeth to them that believe, to them that believe, not to them that say they believe, but believe in the gospel. In John 1 or 1 John 11-13. Listen very carefully. Here's what we read. He came unto his son, and his son received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, that's Jesus talking about the Jewish people, of course. They rejected him. But that's another sermon we'll get into sometime, okay? The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means women too, and children, when they reach the age of accountability. I mean, what could be clearer? What could be plainer? What could be simpler? God didn't make salvation difficult. Whosoever believeth on him, that's as simple as it can be. God doesn't want anyone to perish. No, none. The easiest thing to understand in the Bible is the plan of salvation, and God made it that way. So don't let it get complicated when you tell it to others. Set it straight. Set it plain. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That means he made the world. He loves the world. And he loves you, even the sinners he loves. However, man claiming to be righteous, what's he do? He climbs upon a pedestal. Oh, a multitude of ways. Ways that seemeth right unto man. That's what he does. He'll stand there and he'll boast and tell you things that are not quite in line with the scriptures. And you can very easily be led astray. But you got your Bible. You get your Bible if you don't have one. The King James Authorized 1611. Check it out for yourself. The way of respectability. The way or morality. The way of religion. The way Christianity and baptism, Christianity and penance and confession, and the two most favored of all, good works and doing the best you can. Good works and doing the best you can. That's all God asks. Do the best you can, and I'll be there with you. And I'll help you to overcome those problems that mount up in front of you. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. But you know what? A lot of people say, well, if I'm doing the best I can, that's as good as it's going to get. And they say, well, you know, the way of respectability and morality and religion and churchianity and all this, you know. This is all there is to it. You know what? But it's still like garbage. It's preached in many of today's churches. Yes, it is. Do the best you can. God knows your heart. Well, that's not necessarily so. Yes, do the best you can, but do it with God in it. In other words, lean on him. He wants you to lean on him. He has a shoulder that wants to be leaned on. That's the God I serve. Oh, yes. You know, I go to a small, simple, independent Baptist church. I've done so ever since the day I got saved. I mean, really saved. Really saved. It's important to take that. Really saved. Now, understand this. Understand this. I did not get saved in the church by walking an aisle. That might seem like the natural, the easiest, the simplest way, and I'm not knocking it. A lot of people have gotten saved in the church by walking the aisle and receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got saved in a gravel ditch. What's that you say? In a gravel ditch, yes. In a gravel ditch one late night. One late night on a dark country road. It's almost funny when you really picture it in your mind. Yes, it is. A grown man, at least the figure of a man, a man who believed that Catholicism was the only way, the only true way to heaven. That's what I was brought up to believe. What a pitiful sight was I. Success was always my goal in life. It was there that cold, rainy October night, I remember it like yesterday, that Jesus, the Christ, appeared unto the world's greatest sinner. Now, I'm not talking visually, but spiritually. And he took me by the hand, and he lifted me up out of that miry clay. And I'm not speaking figuratively here. I'm telling you the truth. This is exactly how it happened. He lifted me out of that miry clay. And I never looked back. I was too busy looking ahead at him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. That was many, many years ago. And my Lord, you know, my Lord has never, never left me. And he never will. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When a precious soul calls out to God, he must keep in mind two things. First, he does so in faith, believing that Jesus Christ suffered and died for his sins and never ever let that escape from your mind. And secondly, that salvation once received can never be rescinded. Like God is not going to say, I saved you by the blood of Jesus, but if you don't smarten up, I'm just going to take it away. No, God's not an Indian giver. No, he ain't. You see, once you give your life over to Jesus, then you are automatically sealed by adoption through his finished work at Calvary. Yes, you are. You are a new creature, automatically reborn into the body of the Savior who suffered and died a viciously cruel death for every one of your sins. Every one of them, past, present, and future. Jesus, the Christ of God, suffered, bled, and died. Now, if you're not sure, then get on your knees. Get on your knees. If you can't, then simply reach out. Reach out right where you are. If you can't reach out physically, then call upon the name that's above every name. If you can't speak, then simply believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. You see, there's no way you can block the Lord Jesus Christ from saving you if you believe, because God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the heart. He's listening. He's waiting. He knows your every thought. Don't wait another moment in time. Tomorrow may be too late. Now is the accepted time. Jesus is waiting to hear from you now. Are you sure you're saved? I mean, you probably wouldn't be listening to this message if you didn't think you were saved. And that's a shame, you know. Because even when we're saved, we should be listening to the Word of God, being encouraged by it, being able to understand and pass it on to other needy folk. Jesus is waiting to hear from you now. He knows anyway what's on your heart, but he wants to hear from you. Not later today, not at bedtime, not tomorrow, not next week. Now. The devil has had you long enough. You can only break free by way of the cross. By way of the cross. Tell me, do you have the full assurance of your salvation? Or are you just a shadow believer? Just a shadow believer. Well, if so, it's time to step out of the shadows and into the glorious light of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's waiting to hear from you. Do you have a friend that you're concerned about? That you worry about them, that if they die, they will go to hell? Do you? Talk to them. Talk to them. If they won't listen, pray for them. Pray for them that God will open their hearts and hear the message of salvation. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, that includes me, you, and everyone else in this world, that all should come to repentance. A lot of people don't like the word repentance, but you know it's necessary. Repentance just simply means turning away from what you're doing, from what you're saying, the way you're behaving, the way you're walking, and turning toward Jesus Christ, to Calvary, to what happened, to the cross, to the blood, believing in your heart, that Jesus suffered and died for you and for me and for the sins of the whole world. That's not hard to do. If you're not saved, or you've got a relative or a friend, or even a guy on the street you want to talk to, tell them about Jesus. They may not have even heard about him. Tell them. God is not willing that they should go to hell. No. God loves the sinner, but he doesn't love the sin. So, what are you waiting for? If you haven't got time today, make time very soon to talk to others about Jesus and his great love and his great mercy. I want to thank you for listening. I'll ask you to tune in again next week to the Just Jesus Radio Network. 9 o'clock, Saturday mornings. I'll be there. Will you? Oh, God bless you, everyone. And be sure to drop by my website, Battle Site for Christ. I'm sure you'll find something interesting there. And look under resume. What you'll find is the way that I really came to know Jesus. Oh, I think you'll like the story. Okay? God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.